Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth, and we are thrilled to have on the phone with us today Tom Ellis. He is a licensed therapist at Crocus Hill Counseling Center in Hastings, and of course has very, very deep ties to the Hastings area, as he was with the Ellis Funeral Home in Hastings for many years. And Tom, we are just thrilled to have you chatting with us on the phone again. You're kind of our go-to guy if we need to talk about life things. Is that okay?
Absolutely. I'm here for you, and it's good to hear your voice, Mo.
It's good to hear your voice as well.
Hope Hastings is surviving all this chaos in this pandemic world.
Well, it's a crazy time, Tom, and I know you and I spoke a couple of months ago about, as we were just heading into quarantine time and staying at home, that's not healthy for people.
Yeah, absolutely. It's I can't believe it's been 2 months already, and yeah, we're starting to approach the 3 month marker of when all this pandemic crisis started, and it's hard to believe, and I think it's really a good time to check in with people to see how people are doing. And as you can probably guess, the therapy world is very busy, so people are doing telehealth all over the place. The good news about that is mental health services are so accessible now, it doesn't matter where the heck you are. You do need internet access, but that's about as tricky as it gets. So I've been actually practicing from my home office for 2 months. I just went back to my work office a week ago, so it's kind of nice to have a change of scenery. But yeah, a time to really to be there for ourselves, especially, and try to be there for others. And so let's talk about that.
Well, Tom, is it fair to say that even if you did not have anxiety or those kinds of issues before we started going into this pandemic, that everybody is feeling it, even if you perhaps didn't have a diagnosed mental issue?
Yeah, you're exactly right, Mo. If you haven't experienced anxiety before in your life, which I think most people have, we can think about anxiety maybe as the next level up from just stress, which we're always going to have. So we know for a fact now, after a few months of this, that we're all living in a much higher vigilant state. Our anxiety is there, even if we don't even acknowledge it or aren't not aware of it at all. We have it. So should we all be diagnosed with an anxiety disorder? No, but we know what anxiety feels like now. So we aren't getting consistent information, so that makes us feel unsettled and anxious. We don't really know exactly. We can't quite get our heads around what actually is happening. We don't know where this is going. All of those, that kind of uncertainty, is creating this higher sense of anxiety. It's interesting in that it's really impacting people's sleep. The most reports I'm getting and some of the newer reports out there are that we're all sleeping more, so kind of check in with yourselves about that. But we continue to be more tired, so that's kind of a classic reaction to anxiety. So more feelings of feeling overwhelmed, feeling like things are really out of our control. So we're sleeping more, but probably not as well. People are really talking about their dreams. So if you are people that are having pandemic dreams, I think it would be really good and interesting for people to start writing those down. I don't know if you're noticing sleep changes or weird dreams, Mo. But
I actually, yes, yeah. I have. Can I tell you how weird mine are? You know, our kids are doing the distance learning. You're not charging me for this, are you?
No. We'll just include this with what we're doing.
I'm so happy.
Because none of us are alone in this, right?
No, I know that. So our kids are doing distance learning, and so they're doing tests online and everything. I had a dream probably about a week and a half ago where my sweet husband woke me up and said, "Why are you crying?" I mean, I'm sorry, I can't do this. That in order for our daughter to pass her class, I think it was biology or something, every parent had to take half of the test. I had to take half of it, and I was dragging her down because I barely passed it when I had it in high school myself.
Right.
What sort of a dream is that? That's bizarre.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so what I always tell people is, you know, what did that mean to you? Clearly, it sounds like you're anxious about a lot of it.
Yes, yes.
And as you know, so what you did, what your brain did, is it also added that anxiety that comes with parenting. Ugh. It added to the anxiety that comes with our kids getting older and accomplishing things and graduating. And, you know, I'm working with parents professionally, or just friends that are parents as well, that are like, oh my gosh, what about this? We were thinking about college and now we don't know. What about this? What are those next steps? And so, yeah, I think if you can tap into and listen to our subconscious about our sleep and dreaming, it's just another good validator that, hey, there's something has changed and I am more on high alert.
You know, early on in the pandemic, I was very excited about having to be in quarantine and having to stay home because I thought this will be the time I'll get done a lot of projects I've been putting off. And I did for a while, and then all of a sudden I've lost interest.
Yeah, that's kind of classic. So we thought early on that, well, this sounds like a great opportunity to get these projects done or getting some reading done. Early on, my things were, you know, I'm going to read more for sure. My garden's going to look great. I'm going to just be chill and get things done. And, you know, life continues to happen and the world continues to change. So we're not going to have the energy levels that we thought we might have. And time is a crazy thing. I mean, the old adage that, you know, if we have all day to clean our refrigerator, it might probably take all day. Well, now we have so much time. But then there are also times during the day and during the week, depending on what people are doing and having to do, where we feel like, oh my gosh, time is running by so quickly now. So we're more attuned to this whole time issue and getting stuff done, or am I not getting the stuff done I wanted to, like, you know, your tentative plan was too. Again, all things that lead to more stress and anxiety. So really a time for people to check in. What stressors can you really identify? What is real? And again, I encourage people to write these down. Well, I'm worried about this. I'm worried about this. This causes me great anxiety. Kind of list them and really kind of do a quick check to see if are these things I have control over or not. And what I like to do is just encourage people to try to turn the dial over to the things that we might have some control over. What you're probably going to learn is we don't have a lot of control over a lot of things. So if you are a person like all your ducks in a row and you consider yourself a controlling person, you're not going to do as well, you know, during these times of crisis. So really know and focus in. It's a time to really learn about ourselves. So put those projects aside and kind of put yourself to the forefront, and even our parenting. So what am I learning about myself? What are the priorities and what things should we be focusing on instead of maybe things that are really out of our control? And how do we have those conversations at home?
So really staying in tune with who's around you and talking and communicating. And, you know, right now, though, we're looking forward to perhaps coming out of quarantine, coming out and having the world open up. And I know for a lot of people, they are so excited to get back into the world and really get back to quote unquote normal. But a lot of people like me, I'm just not going to rush back out. So,
yeah, I think that's really going to be a common reaction, Mo, in that, yeah, can we get back to how the world used to be? Well, we're getting little glimmers of that. Things are going to open up a little more. Is that going to change and get us back to where we were? Absolutely not. Because some people will have more anxiety because of that, whether they want to kind of get back out there, or the people that are like, oh, no, we shouldn't get back out there. So, again, there's going to be judgment. We don't know what to do exactly. No one's given us a manual yet, right, about how to take all of this in. You know, we need people in our lives that can validate how we're feeling and how we're thinking about things. So make sure we have them. We're not going to agree with all people. The last piece with that, just having someone to validate our realities, is just also knowing our own reality. So when do I know when I'm kind of at that point of no return where, you know, I'm feeling completely exhausted, I'm feeling really burnt out, despairing and overwhelmed, and what do I know about myself? What do I need to do to take better care of myself? People that know me, as you do, Mo, I'm kind of a self-care freak because I really have to practice what I preach to people I work with. So, yeah, things like exercise and eating well is just really, really important. So it's all those basic things that we tell our kids that we kind of tend to forget about as adults. Exercise and eating well, getting enough rest, how do I relax, how do I celebrate when good things do happen in my life and in the world, feeling our feelings instead of just kind of pushing them aside. Sleep is really a big thing. So again, back to the sleep thing, if we're not getting good sleep, we're not going to do well through the rest of the day. It's going to heighten everything and magnify things. People that aren't sleeping well, you know, then, you know, can you rest during the day as well? And what are the activities that kind of help you function better? So for me, the more I'm out in the garden, the better I'm going to do. The more I have time just some downtime to read or write. I know that's going to help me. The more time I have with my family, my daughters, my dog, the people that are really focused and present, I know I'm going to do better. So check in with your support systems for sure. Who are the helpful people? What are the helpful activities? This is really a time to, you know, really come up with your own self-care plan. It would be magnificent.
Tom, what do you think about people that are just so on edge? Like, I've seen some people that are making fun of others that are wearing a mask, and mm-hmm. you can't tell me not to wear a mask. And is it really about the mask, or is it just people's anger and frustration?
I think most of that stuff is fear-based. So what we know when we're having reactions that are more fear-based, it's going to come out sideways. We're really not at our best. It's not our proudest moment. So if we are scared, think about, you know, when you were a kid or even parenting children. When kids are scared, we start to think weird things. For sure, there is a monster under my bed now. I'm pretty sure it's real. I need somebody to come and look at it. This is that basic. People that are having reactions to this virus in different ways, we're going to have differences. And for whatever reason, I think there's a number of reasons, our culture has made this more dividing again than it needs to be. We're seeing lots of signs in our neighborhoods about, you know, just be kind. Use your words, love one another, are you helping your neighbor? All those basic things that we learned in school or from our parents, hopefully, that's what's going to change things. So if it's a person with a mask or without a mask, like your example, they're afraid about something or they feel like they've lost control over something, and so they need to project their own fear-based stuff onto that other person. My advice to people on those receiving ends of that stuff is turn around and walk away. Just don't say anything. Don't engage. So if we don't engage, there's going to be less conflict and we're going to feel better.
That's good advice. Tom, what would you say about getting back on track with routines and getting rid of some of the bad habits that we have developed? And I will tell you that in my house, there are all sorts of bad habits. Mm-hmm. You can't go to school in your underwear.
Right. There's laws against that.
I can't go on a Zoom call in my pajama bottoms with a nice shirt. So how do you get back on track?
Yeah, I was telling people too that I can actually wear sandals now. My rule as a therapist or professional most of my life is people really don't need to see your toes, so cover up your feet. I'm like, no, I have sandals on today. It's great.
How do we get
I'm
back
sure
on track?
I'm going to get more shorts. Yeah, so I think the way you framed it is really excellent in that what are we doing? Because we know that our coping strategies are really important right now. So we all have some good ones, hopefully. We all have some really negative ones, and we know what they are. So if we are really off of a schedule, so if you have your days and nights mixed up, for example, like adolescents always do,
right?
How do we tweak that a little bit? Again, the kids aren't accountable as they were. So, you know, adolescents need to sleep more. So if they're up till midnight and they sleep till 10 o'clock, big deal right now. Give their brain a break. But also, we also know the brain is going to continue to develop and they're going to get more in sync with how we used to kind of run our world with the calendar. But I think structure is really important. What I'm telling people is, especially people that have lost jobs and don't have a lot of structure to the day right now, let's schedule a morning walk. Let's schedule an evening walk. Do something active in between. Because if we start to kind of push toward that place of no structure, more depressive moods, along with the anxiety we talked about, we're not going to do well. So we know that. What are some healthy habits that we can start adding? And I think schedule is a big thing. So I'm telling people that let's come up with a priority list. What are the things you'd like to accomplish today? And maybe you even have a longer term one. Don't go out longer than a week, for example. We don't want to go out too far with stuff because we don't know what the world's looking like. So what do we need to do today as an individual or as a family or as a couple, whatever it might be? Pull out a list of responsibilities, things that we need to get done around the house or outside in the yard, or even just time to kind of come together and have a little communication. Come up with a list. There might be somebody in each family, I think there usually is, someone that is a little more organized. Let that person kind of come up with a family calendar. I'm talking to some families where the adolescents are actually going on a couple walks with their family, which maybe you've seen them around your neighborhood.
Yes.
I think it's hysterical, and I think it's really awesome, and we're stuck with each other. So how can we, you know, get better at this?
You know, one of the things I'm really going to miss once we get back to quote unquote normal is taking my dog to church with me, in quotes. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, so I'm sort of looking around for a church that is puppy friendly, but if you
puppy
fight.
Puppy friendly, yeah. I think the dogs are faring very well.
I do too.
Although I did see something where there was a little comic thing where the dog was saying, you know what, if these people don't get back to work and I have to go for one more walk, I'm just going to start pulling my hair. Lots of dog walking going on in our neighborhood.
I think that's not so bad.
Great.
Yeah. How do we overcome these fears, though, if we really are paralyzed? Is that when we would seek out the help of you?
Yeah, really good point. So if we know that, you know, for example, anxiety and depression are naturally isolating, and just grief and loss stuff is naturally isolating, so we're all grieving. We're grieving what we had. We're grieving friendships that we can't tend to. Lots of grief going on. That stuff can lead to more clinical depression symptoms. And what I would really encourage people to do, at the very least, find some online support out there. There's a fair amount. I'm getting some good reports on even some Facebook groups, which is great. However people can do to kind of get out of, whatever they can do to kind of get out of that tendency towards isolation, really push yourselves to that. If people are feeling more despairing, like overwhelmed, in more of a kind of a crisis, like I can't even breathe very much anymore, not sleeping, having some strange behaviors they're not happy about, for sure, talk to your doctors. You can call your insurance companies to find a therapy, a provider, mental health provider that your insurance will cover. If you don't have insurance, go on to websites like Psychology Today to find for a therapist, and right on there they'll tell you their fees or if they are taking insurance. Again, a really good time to access mental health providers. So I would really err on the side of doing that. If you haven't done it, this is a good time to start.
Tom Ellis, we're always so grateful when you call in. Thank you so much. Tom is a licensed therapist at Crocus Hill Counseling Center. And do you want to give your phone number, Tom?
People can just go to crocushillcounselingcenter.com, and there's lots of information there. I'm currently not taking new clients, but there are people in my clinic here that are, and I can also help people with referrals. We're doing a fair amount of that, too.
Oh, we're so grateful. Tom Ellis, thank you so much for calling in, and you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460. 60 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.
Some kids have and some kids don't, and some of us are wondering why. And my